Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back in it. Chiefs play Sunday, 3:25. You might think it's pointless. You might not watch, but boy, am I going to, because I'm going to have some fun prop bets. Speaking of which, we will have Goldilocks coming up here, the host of that betting show.
Which one?
That one. And Ben Maller at 7:25, Nate Taylor at 8:25. It is a loaded Thursday. We're back, full force. It sucks because now there's no holiday to look forward to. Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday. We're like, oh man,
everything's
first
done.
Of the year's great. Like you get Thanksgiving, Christmas, yeah. New Year's. Then it's like, all right, now you got to wait until March. You're like, what's in March? Well,
I mean, but there's really no like big, like where you like, can
Valentine's Day is great. Yeah. Like however, how you do it. Like if you go out, like my parents always took us out for dinner with them. If you're fresh in a relationship, maybe you have like, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, this is the worst time to start getting into a relationship because you've got that period of time now where the new year and then Valentine's Day pops up.
Well,
and if you've been dating
excuse.
Something for somebody for, you know, 2-3 weeks, do you have them for Valentine's Day? Like, what do you do?
Tweener phase.
It was kind of when I started dating my wife, you know, called her like 3 o'clock on Valentine's Day. I'm like, you want to go out to dinner tonight? And she said, yes. I said, had you said no, I never would have called you again. Right. But like, it was like that real tweener phase. So the memo is right now. Now, don't date anybody until like February 15th, okay? Just after the Super Bowl and all this kind of stuff, after the parade, after Valentine's Day, then start going to look for somebody that you love. Because if you date them, it's just an awkward situation. I mean, we start dating like January 20th.
You guys made it out? Hey, maybe that's the reason to do it.
You started dating January 20th and you went on a Valentine's Day date the first year?
Yeah, we did.
Wow,
yeah,
that is actually, that's like, a quick turnaround.
So we started dating, right? And then the following week, I was gone to the Super Bowl. So I was in Detroit.
Nice.
So that's a week where I was gone. And then you're back, and then it's Valentine's Day. And I'm like, okay. Like, what do you do? Do you call? Do you not? It was weird. We'd only gone out a couple of times.
Do
I really
feel
didn't
rude?
Like her.
Is it not rude?
You know, like, no, I kid. But yeah, like you just don't know like what that situation is. And so like if you're getting ready, hang on, wait 6 weeks. It'll all be okay. But the other thing that the holiday gives you is the opportunity to say, I'll get to it after the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
That excuse is no longer out there. Let's get to it after the holiday. Oh, crap.
New year, new me.
It's January 2nd. I guess I got. We'll get to it on Monday when everybody else is back to work.
So how long have you been married?
17, 18 years this year.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be 18 years. Yeah.
Almost been married as long as you've been doing this radio show.
Yeah. We got married in 08, so whatever that is. 17 years, 18 years, yeah.
Oh, nice. 08.
Yeah.
Nice. And it's January 20th, you said?
No, that's when we first started. That was like our first date. But no, April 12th is our anniversary. So.
It'd be cool if your anniversary is on April 20th.
Oh, right. Day after my birthday. Would have been great. We would have celebrated everything.
Absolutely. So yesterday I came up with a question. I asked a couple of my buddies and I asked you guys as well. And I thought I had enough legs and maybe the text line, you could chime in at this as well. 913-586-7965. The offense the last 3 weeks, the board has still continued. So while you were gone, your boy still did his homework.
Look at that. All the green.
That's right. 29-10, 27-19, 21-7. Coincidence or not that Hollywood Brown has been on the offense those 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And now the Chiefs are separating themselves in victory, right? Like that was the thing. Like, can they solidify a win where I don't have to be like, well, they barely won. Well, 3 games in a row, Hollywood Brown's been back. He's looked fantastic. Has he not? Has he not looked great?
Like, he's been good,
And from what I've told people is, I think this was the offense the Chiefs wanted to run because they were thinking that there was the possibility that Rashee Rice could be out with the suspension. So they put together an offense. They said, okay, well, this is what it's going to look like without Rashee Rice. Now, obviously, with Rashee Rice out with injury, we didn't think that you would see DeAndre Hopkins or Juju Smith-Schuster preseason, but Juju was always there. Like, there was a possibility that if Veach wanted to, be like, hey, here's a mill, just come play for, you know, a year and then go on your merry way. But this offense has looked different. It's looked like there's a little bit of a shot in the arm with Hollywood Brown. So the question I have for you is, next year, when Hollywood Brown's a free agent and also DeAndre Hopkins is a free agent, would you want to bring back DeAndre Hopkins or Hollywood Brown?
Yeah, it's a question that you asked us last night, and I didn't respond for a while because I was thinking a lot about it.
Well, the first time you did respond, you're like, I'm still not sure what the answer is.
And I still don't know to this day, to this moment, what the correct answer is on that. I tend to lean towards Joe Tooney solidified that left tackle spot, and now they're able to do those things from an offensive standpoint. that they weren't able to do before because they didn't have anybody playing that left tackle position, right? It's gotten better. The offensive line has gotten better because Joe Tooney has been a superstar for this team by bouncing outside. And if I'm Joe Tooney, I'm like, I got one more year left on this contract. Either we're going to renegotiate left tackle money or, you know, I'm just going to play this thing
or
out.
Just give it all to me fully guaranteed.
Yeah, just guarantee everything for the $25 million I think he's owed next year. It's a big chunk of change.
For a left tackle, that's pretty cheap.
Sign me up, dude. What are you talking about?
But he's like, he counts for like over 10% of the salary cap or something like that next year. Like, it's a big number, you know, for Joe Tooney, but well-earned for the way that he's playing right now. But I think the answer after seriously thinking about it for a while, I think I lean towards Hollywood Brown on this one. I think he's been more of a playmaker than DeAndre Hopkins has been. Like, I think DeAndre Hopkins has been good and he's been better than I ever thought DeAndre Hopkins would be here. But I don't know, man, since Hollywood Brown has gotten back in and Joe Tooney has played left tackle, it's just all come together right now. And so which one do I want to pick? I think I would lean towards Hollywood Brown. But if you're saying, you know, I'm going DeAndre Hopkins, I don't think that's a wrong answer either. I think it's a really nice question to talk about, a good problem to have, and one where we may not see either of them next year here, you know, in Kansas City. But I think Hollywood Brown would probably be my answer on that one.
Yeah, I kind of lean that direction, too, because I think about Rashee Rice coming back. He would kind of fill in what DeAndre Hopkins does as far as a guy who can be that reliable security blanket for Mahomes, a guy who can move the chains and make those contested big body kind of strong-handed catches. Rashee Rice can do a lot of that stuff that Hopkins can do and is going to keep improving at it. The speed, the juice, the burst that Hollywood has just shown in just 3 weeks. I kind of like that.
And it also, looks different with Hollywood, right?
It does.
Right?
Yeah. It looks clean. And they already have a connection after a couple weeks. Plus, Hollywood Brown's a guy, like when he was coming here, I was really excited about him because I don't think his ceiling has shown in the league yet. And I don't think it has either because he hasn't been healthy. We might see it this playoff. So I think I lean Brown. But again, to Bob's point, no right answer there.
So let me ask you this. I'll throw a twist on the question. Travis Kelce and the Chiefs won a three-peat. Kelce retires. Mm-hmm. Does that sway you any way,
no,
shape, or form?
Not at all.
Because you lose a security blanket in DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, I would bring both of them back. Yeah, if Kelce walked. I would consider bringing both of them back. You know, right now. But again, age-wise, too, you always have to be getting younger, and this organization has never been one to pay, if you will, the wide receiver position. And so if Hollywood Brown can, you know, hit the free agent market and make a nice big payday, then by all means, you go and do that. Same thing with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. If he hits the free agent market and gets one more big payday, I don't know that he is, but if he could, you know, and get one more big payday, they would let him go. They're not going to overpay, you know, at that position. But, you know, if they do win, you know, the three-peat and Travis Kelce does walk away, I think you have a lot of question marks now from an offensive standpoint. Like, what are we going to do?
No,
how are we going to define ourselves?
You've been told the answer for when Travis steps away.
Yeah,
it's Noah Gray.
It is Noah Gray, but can't expect Noah Gray to be a Hall of Famer either.
No, like, I think that's, you know, one thing that, and I was talking about this the other night, like Travis Kelce over 12 years, I think is averaging like 7 touchdowns a year and 1,100 yards. George Kittle in 8 years is doing the same thing. Big thing is 4-year gap. Like there's 4 years where Kittle would have to continue to do that. And I think that's one thing that you have to realize with Travis Kelce is that is an anomaly. Like that is the best tight end to play football, him or Gronk or Gonzalez, however you want to look at it. And then after that, it's, I don't know, Shannon Sharp,
Antonio Gates,
Jason Witten. Like that's all like that. I mean, Kellen Winslow is good. I guess you could say that as well, but like that's the masterclass. Those 8-9 names in the history of the NFL.
Sure.
So again, that is going to be one of those things. I think Noah Gray can do just fine in the system, but
I feel bad for him in a sense, because there are going to be the fans that have this expectation that he is going to be Travis Kelce 2.0 or Tony Gonzalez 3.0. Like we've been blessed, right, with these two tight ends and Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce. Odds are Noah Gray isn't going to be in that same category, and no, that's okay. If he's good, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Be George Kittle. Be good. Be average.
But again, like, look at who the wide receivers were when Travis Kelce was doing his dominant stuff, right? Like, I know he had Tyreek Hill for a little bit and Sammy Watkins, but then it was not Xavier Worthy, but it was like Kadarius Toney at times. It was Sky Moore at times. It was like Juju Smith-Schuster kind of doing his thing a little bit at times.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling,
right.
You know,
and Marcus Robinson, Tyron Pringle.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So when Travis Kelce exits, if you do bring back Hollywood Brown, then Mahomes gets Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and he has Rashee Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pacheco for one more year, then they go draft a running.
See you later to him too. Yeah,
because they're going to draft Scatterboo in the 32nd pick this year. They're just like, all right, dude. Like, we have Carson Steele mixed with Isaiah Pacheco. moving forward. Yeah. But no, I think that is, you know, when you look at that question, because like the offense does look like it's gotten this new, you know, whatever. And I know the offense is what it is. Like it's averaging 24 points a game, which
That's good.
Nice. Yeah. But the thing is that like, and we had a text that that said the offense has been there all year, but now the defense has started to play better, so it looks like they're the way the offense has been so solidified, and the way that they kind of have their way about it is now they can have long sustainable drives that end in points, which again gives your defense time to rest. So like hand shakes hand, you know, face looks at face and says thank you. But I do look. I think this is also that time of year where, like, before against Buffalo or before against other teams, it was like, I don't think that they're showing much. The one thing that's great about Hollywood Brown is that you have maybe two games, maybe two and a half games of tape with Hollywood Brown. He was eased in against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. He was a big part in the last two games. And it's like, okay, well, this is what they have to show, and that's 2 weeks. Not only that, you're not going to see any of it on Sunday. Carson Wentz.
Right.
We know that now. He's starting.
Best of luck, Carson.
Yeah, but you have, you know, Andy Reid will set you up for success. But not only that, you look at that, and then you get into the playoffs. And this is what's so amazing about the Chiefs every year is that they don't have to announce it like Josh Allen did. I'm still kind of confused by his comments. I'm not sure if you heard those, but he was like, yeah, there's some stuff that we're holding back. Like, that's a guy that hasn't been there before. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a guy that, yes, he's been in the playoffs, but Andy Reid and the Chiefs, you and I, Mac, we all know they're not showing a lot. But I don't need Patrick Mahomes to go out there and be like, yeah, you know, we're just hiding some plays.
No.
It's like, but Josh Allen told us that. So it's like, okay, buddy, thank you. But I think that when you look at this offense and this defense, right, they're getting the rest. They're getting the time. You add Hollywood Brown back, and now all of a sudden, everyone's like, we don't really know how they're going to use him. Yeah. We've seen him against Houston. We've seen him against, you know, Pittsburgh. But gosh, he's kind of everywhere.
Yeah, I just personally don't think it has anything to do with Hollywood Brown. It has to do everything with the offensive line finally
and
playing
to
their level. And so when
ball's back.
Well, yeah, you have time. You can't do anything unless you have an offensive line. And mm-hmm. I know it's not sexy on draft day and whatnot, but I mean, you'd like to go back in time and get John Ault and have him as your top pick of the draft instead of, you know, whatever we had at number 32
Sam
this
LaPorta,
year. Or, you know,
whatever.
But I just think this offense got better and got to its next level, not because of Hollywood Brown or because of DeAndre Hopkins. It all has to do with that offensive line. And if you don't believe that the offensive line is the reason why they're playing better, I implore you to go back and watch the Raider game where for the last time, Wanye Morris messed up and Patrick Mahomes lost his mind. And since that play in that Raider game back on November 30th, this offensive line has stepped up and taken it to the next level. And that's because of Joe Tooney saying, I'll bounce outside, I'll play left tackle, and now Patrick Mahomes has the opportunity to operate. It doesn't matter who your weapons are on a football field if you don't have an offensive line. And I don't think this offense was really clicking all season long. They will tell you that as well, that this offense wasn't clicking all season long. But once they figured out the offensive line, this team started to play better. And that's a great sign for where we are at this point of the season. Now we're entering the games that, well, other than Sunday, the games that absolutely really matter now. And you've had three games in 11 days and a game before that to kind of get your feet underneath you with this new offensive line. And I think they're playing at a really good level right now. I think when this season is all said and done, I think Mike Caliendo may go down as the unsung hero in this because we're tooting the horn for Joe Tooney moving outside. Somebody had to replace a Pro Bowl All-Pro left guard, and Mike Caliendo's come in there, and he's done that, and you haven't even noticed that Mike Caliendo's been out there on the field. That's how good he's been.
Yeah. So I know you've probably been, you know, away from – you know, the sports world as in to the point of like dialed in. I don't know if you've seen the line for Sunday's game yet.
I haven't even looked at it.
10.5 for the Raiders, for the Broncos. That's a big line.
That's a huge number.
And I look at this because the Chiefs are plus 425 on the money line. And we'll talk to Alex about this a little bit later on. But I bring this up because we had Derek Johnson on Monday. And I'm not sold that the Chiefs lose this game. And the reason for that is because
Andy Reid, this is one thing that I know playing for Andy Reid, that I know he makes sure that he's going to have something for them to reach for or to motivate them throughout the week to get to the game. And the other high character players that are on the team, like a Pat Mahomes and Kelsey and Chris Jones and all these guys, Justin Reed, they're going to bring the young guys with them. It's a leadership player led team. Even though we talk about Andy Reid and talk about, you know, what his legacy is, he makes sure that he sets players in place, especially leaders, to make sure they lead the right way and so they can get the best out of them on Sundays.
So what we know is that Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, Chris Jones, Karlaftis, and McDuffie will not be playing as of now. Those are for sure guys that are not going to play. 10.5 points on the road, Denver has to play their starter. So I think that's the edge Vegas gives them. Again, I questioned yesterday's Ohio State Oregon game. I was like, how is Ohio State 2.5-point favorites? Like, Oregon's 13-0. Oregon's beat them in the regular season. And then I watched the game. I'm like, Vegas always knows.
Because the good coaches don't show you anything in the regular season. They know what matters, you know? Ryan Day pulling an Andy Reid yesterday.
Yeah, I just don't know if that theory works in college, because you gotta win all the time in college. Now, if not, you don't get to control your fate. Like, obviously, Boise and Arizona State buys where we get to college football a little later, but Andy Reid, I love that cut from Derek Johnson, because he says he's going to make something worth the reach, right? Like, there's definitely some sort of incentives out there for certain players. We'll get into some here on the other side, or some storylines at 6:45. But, like, that's what I love in these games, because, yes, Denver's going to play their starters, but the Chiefs want to beat you with their backups, because not only is that like a middle finger to you, that also shows the morale of the team. And I guarantee you, somebody is said in that locker room, hey guys, you are, it was 11. Somebody says, you guys are 10.5-point underdogs. You, Carson Wentz, you, Carson Steele, you, Noah Gray, like, and the coaches outside of the normal ones that do it every week. Now you get Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, who are all going to be in that typical setup, you know, hoodie, jacket, hat, headset, getting rowdy on the sidelines. I love that the Chiefs are 10.5-point underdogs with their backups, because I can't wait to see how much of truth comes out of this Derek Johnson audio code we just played about how Andy Reid will have them ready. They'll have something to reach for, and the starters and the stars of this team will then become coaches.
Well, yeah, and I think that's going to happen. They're definitely going to rally around these guys who don't get an opportunity to play. But to me, this game is all about the Denver Broncos and potentially their future as well. I mean, everybody's been, you know, riding high with the Denver Broncos over the last couple of months, right? Hey, they're playing good. They're playing good. They're playing good. They've had three opportunities now to close this thing out. I mean, they should have won the game the other night against Cincinnati and did not win that game. And so they're playing for a lot. I think there's going to be a lot of questions if they don't win this game about Sean Payton. Hey, lost the team in the last month of the season. You had three games to win one to get into the playoffs, and you couldn't take care of business. And then you couldn't take care of business at home against the Chiefs backups in a regular season game that meant everything. I mean, I think this is a big game for the Denver Broncos. If they lose this game, there could be a lot of people questioning, did Sean Payton lose this team at the end of the year? I'm sure there will be people questioning Bo Nix as the quarterback, depending on how he plays, you know, on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. But this is a major game for the Denver Broncos. And if they don't go out there and win this game, not because they're a huge favorite or anything, but because of the situation that's around them, you have to start to question, maybe they didn't turn the corner. Maybe they just made some hay against some bad teams early, looked good in Kansas City, you know, in a week 8, week 9 game where we had to have a block kick to win it. But to me, this is all about the Denver Broncos and everything that they have to play for and their season's on the line. How are they going to play? Because if they get beat by the Chiefs backups, baby, I like our future in the AFC West a lot if the Chiefs backups roll into Denver and beat the Broncos, who are in a must-win, fight-for-your-life type of playoff game.
So the Broncos wins this year are the Bucs, the Jets,
yeah,
the Raiders, the Saints. This was October 17th Saints, so they weren't right. The same Saints. Panthers, they lost to the Ravens, lost to the Chiefs. They beat the Falcons, the Raiders, the Browns, the Colts. They've lost to the Chargers again. They lost to the Bengals.
So who have they beaten?
I mean, it's again, it's
good for them for taking advantage of their schedule, right?
Maybe the Falcons, and there was one other decent team.
They beat
there.
The Saints in October 17th.
Yeah. But that, I mean, after that coach got fired down there?
I don't know.
The Saints were good after week 3. Yeah,
they really weren't.
They scored 90 points in the first 2 weeks.
They had a random win over the Bucs in week 3.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That was the team I was
thinking. That was a nice win.
And they beat them soundly. They beat them 26-7, but it was on the road.
I remember that. That was a weird game. Yeah,
because everybody questioned Baker.
Everybody was questioning Baker. Yeah, week 3 and all that kind of early in the season. A lot of teams didn't know what they were doing.
It goes back to Cincinnati, too. Yeah. think Cincinnati's biggest win of the year just came
Denver game.
Yeah.
Took overtime.
Oh, I know.
And everyone's like, I don't know, Cincinnati. Because that's another thing that it's starting to get annoying.
Oh, I'm over the Cincinnati stuff. I just stop.
I'm all about the storylines, but now I'm like, I'm loving that we're getting spoon-fed a bunch of BS that says Kansas City fans don't want to see Cincinnati. No one's saying that. No one's saying I don't want to see Cincinnati. Like,
we've beaten every team in the playoffs already this year with the exception of Buffalo.
Right. And
I'll take anybody.
The thing is that, like, I don't know if there's a team I don't want to see. It's all an Arrowhead. So everybody's going to come to your house and you don't have to travel until February.
Right.
Right. Obviously, this game. Leave me alone, Texan.
I wonder how they're going to get back from Denver if the snow's bad. Like, are we going to see the story on Monday?
They're not going to Hawaii either.
The Chiefs are stuck in Denver for another day. Thank God they have the bye.
But I do think, because that's what I've kind of noticed over the weekend or over the week, is it was just like, everybody's like, yeah, nobody wants to see Cincinnati. No one's saying that.
Yeah.
No one's, first off, just for Cincinnati to get in, which they do have a glimmer of hope.
No, they got
Denver
a
and Miami have to lose and they have to win.
Right.
Like, again, if Miami wins and Denver loses, they're out. If Denver wins, everybody's out.
Right.
If Denver loses, Miami loses, and Cincinnati lose, Denver's in.
And Pittsburgh plays Cincinnati on Saturday night, right?
So
we'll have kind of an idea of what, you know, Sunday is going to look like. If Cincinnati loses, well, they don't even have to watch on Sunday, right? They can go back to Cancun or wherever it is that they're going to go, this offseason.
If Cincinnati loses to the Steelers.
Right.
Then
Cincinnati's done. If they lose, Saturday, Sunday doesn't matter for them.
Because then, I guess Denver still would have to play their starters because Miami doesn't play till Sunday. If Miami wins and Denver loses.
Monday, Sunday night is Miami?
No, they both play at 3:25.
Sunday night's your Super Bowl. Sunday night's Minnesota-Detroit.
Oh, Minnesota-Detroit is the Sunday night game.
For the one seed.
That's great
then
Sunday night.
Then the losers got to go on the road winning 14 games.
I mean, can you seriously think about that? I mean, like, if you lose that game, oh my God.
I don't mind it at all.
See, I don't mind it either. I have no problem with the seeding system in the NFL whatsoever.
The Rams can backdoor their division with 10 wins, they get to host a home game.
Yeah, you win the division. Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. It sucks, but it is what it is.
But you don't suck. That's the question.
Right, yeah.
You're a 14-win team.
But if you're a 14-win team, you should be able to go on the road and win a football game, right? Like, you're 14-2, 14-3.
But we just bitched and moaned about being a 15-win team, and then we just got the number one seed.
I know. It's crazy how that all works out. Yeah. But you knew you were going to get a home playoff game. You knew you were going to be the 1 or 2 seed. You knew you were going to be in that driver's seat. This is one for the division. If you don't win the division, you're out. But
crazy.
I'll take Detroit or Minnesota on the road against whoever in the NFC, you know, and then, you know, so what? They have to go on the road and they don't get a home playoff game unless things work out and they're in their favor and all the top four teams get eliminated and whatnot. But hey, it is what it is. Go out there and win your games. And then if you win, your fans can really brag. We had to go on the road as a wild card team.
Exactly.
Yeah. Giants have done it over the years and you know, New England's done it over the years. And teams have wanted these wild card teams going on the road for 3 games. It's not like it can't happen anymore. It happens more often than not now in the NFL.
When did you say the last time it's happened?
I have no idea when the last time it happened, but I know the Giants did it a couple of times. New England obviously won on the road here to go to the Super Bowl. Cincinnati won. I think Cincinnati probably is the last team.
They didn't
team,
win the Super Bowl, though.
But they went,
they went to the
Super Bowl. Yeah.
I mean, so you're right about that.
It can be done because they beat the Raiders maybe at home, and then they went on the road to Tennessee. And then on the road to Kansas City.
So they went on 2 games, not 3.
Yeah, I can't remember whether that game. Well, that game, yeah, the game would have been at home against
Congratulations,
Vegas.
You get zero home playoff games. You won 15 games all year. Yeah. Thank you. Goodbye.
On the flip side, like you asked, when's the last time that happened? That to Bob's question, when's the last time this happened? You know, this doesn't happen either.
So no, it really doesn't.
It doesn't happen often enough. If this was happening every year, Dusty, I think there'd be a conversation. It just doesn't happen.
Right. It really doesn't. I mean, and then, you know, for more often than not, I mean, it always seemingly works out the way that it's supposed to work out. Every once in a while, it gets mixed up and whatnot, and things happen. But for the most part, you see the teams that you want, like Buffalo, Kansas City for the AFC Championship game and Detroit, Minnesota for the NFC Championship game. I mean, let's call it now.